Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a day it was yesterday in the city of New Orleans for Super Bowl Sunday, the Super Bowl that the Saints got robbed of going to. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people, I don't have the exact number, were hanging out, showing everybody that this is how it's done in the city of New Orleans, how we can take a massive disappointment and turn it into just massive parties. And it started with the Jazz funeral yesterday morning on North Peters Street. That's where it started. And not only the Jazz funeral, but there was a second line, which was absolutely insane. And then once the afternoon came, Boycott Bowl over on Fulton Street in the Warehouse District was just nuts. And I got a chance to hop up on stage at the Boycott Bowl, and I introduced Dash Rip Rock, and there was just people from miles and miles and miles. That's all you could see. And that thing went on till late in the night. John Marty is filling in for Brewster this morning.
Howdy, sir.
Good to see you, John
Marty.
Good
to see you as well.
Did you enjoy yesterday's festivities as well?
You know, I was very curious when it was whole being put together, like, who would actually show up? You know, it was one of those, like, that sounds great on paper and everything, but I don't know. It's like, do you think anybody's actually going to come downtown for this? It's like, you know, sort of thrown together last minute. But, wow, you're exactly right. There was people everywhere. It was like seriously, like the Saints were playing, and it was like a game day. It was insane. Especially that Boycott Bowl concert. You couldn't even move. There were so many people at Fulton Street,
and that was a 10-hour event that started at 12 noon yesterday, and it didn't end till 10 o'clock. And for 10 hours, I don't know about the first hour or two. It took me a couple hours to get there, but I know from, let's say, 3 o'clock on, it was a mob scene over there. It was a madhouse.
I showed up actually like late. Like, I didn't get there till after 7, and it was still just people like everywhere. It was like Ernst, and the balcony was full. All the Mannings, the whole thing was just like packed of people. It was like Mardi Gras.
Yeah, well, maybe a nice little Mardi Gras warm up, because here we are. We're getting close to that again. But that was neat. And the fact that the New England Patriots beat the Los Angeles Rams in the lowest scoring Super Bowl in Super Bowl history, the Rams could not win the Super Bowl yesterday because they didn't deserve to be there.
God didn't want it to happen.
Yeah, they could not win yesterday, and we could not have an illegitimate champion. And I know people are tired of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots, but boy, oh boy.
You got to give it off to that. Hats off to that crew. I mean, that's just nuts, right?
That dynasty is still going, and it's like 20 years now.
Right, and you know, it doesn't look like it's going to stop.
They're coming back next year.
Right? I love how about like mid through the season, everybody wrote off the Patriots. They're terrible this year. They stink.
And the fact that Bill Belichick, a defensive genius, holds that offense to 3 points, and they barely got those 3 points. That was a 50-something yard field goal. I mean, they didn't get into the red zone, I don't think, until late in the second half. If they even got in, I don't even know if the Rams made it past the Patriots 20-yard line.
I think I saw a stat that said something about like the Rams never even made it into the red zone.
So yeah, that was just insane. But I'll tell you, New Orleans showed what it's all about yesterday, and there were people from all over the country talking about it, and I was just so happy to be a part of it, and. It's one of those things that I'll never forget. Much like when the Saints won the Super Bowl a decade ago, I'll never forget. I'll be on my deathbed, and I'll remember where I was. I was lucky enough to be invited to Dickie Brennan's party above one of his restaurants, the one on Bourbon Street, the Bourbon House. Above that, he had a private party, and it was one of the best parties I've ever been to. I mean, all the food, all the booze, all the drink. I mean, only the way a Brennan can throw a party. And I'll never forget when Tracy Porter intercepted that ball, running out onto the balcony from upstairs, the Bourbon House, and just watching everybody come running out of the bars.
Right.
And I dropped my phone back then, and I never found it. But it was one of those flip phones, you know what I mean? So it worked out pretty well.
Oh, nice.
I needed a new one anyways, but I'll never forget
that. I'll never forget the parade that happened after
yeah.
That. I mean, that parade was one of the most legendary things I've ever experienced.
I remember how cold it was that day.
Right, it was cold.
We stood outside, and we were broadcasting, and then, man, we were cold, but once the Saints came by, you didn't even feel the cold.
It was just the best. I mean, every float had a group of players. Like the quarterbacks were on one float, and the defensive backs were on another float. I thought it was just the best in the whole. Just everybody was in the best mood, you know.
And a couple of things about the game: there were hardly any Los Angeles Rams fans in that stadium yesterday in Atlanta. The Patriots said, and if you watched that, I know a lot of people didn't watch the game. But if you watched any of it, it was basically like a New England Patriots home game. There were no Ram fans.
Right, I heard that. Somebody said it's like Gillette Stadium in Atlanta.
and then after the game, when Roger Goodell took the stage on the field to present the Vince Lombardi trophy to the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, the crowd booed him like nuts.
I mean,
like they do at the draft. Every year at the draft, it's the same thing. Now you could add. So he's going to have to. Next year, he's not going to be able to do that. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Right. Here's the trophy. Boo.
Oh, yeah. You could barely hear what he was saying to Kraft. I thought Bob Kraft was going to say, because Bob Kraft, they don't like him either. I mean, the Saints and the Patriots probably hate Goodell the most, because the Saints, with what he did with the Deflategate.
Right.
And the money and the years that took, and he ended up giving Brady a 4-game suspension. But so it's safe to say that the teams and the fan bases in the NFL that can't stand Roger Goodell, the commissioner, the most, are here in New Orleans and up in New England. And boy, did they let him have it.
I mean, it wasn't just a little bit. It was that boo was. I watched it on the internet. It was loud. It was like, wow.
Yeah. Former Saint Brandon Cooks drops a game tying touchdown pass right in his hands. Earlier in the game, he had one in his hands, but it was a great defensive play by a Patriots defender to knock it out. But Brandon Cooks, the former Saint, dropped the tying touchdown pass towards the end of the game right in his hands. Right in his hands he dropped it.
This is the second Super Bowl that he's lost.
Yeah. He lost last year with the Patriots. And
now with the Rams.
Brandon Cooks. How about that?
But wow, right?
I just thought, sure. New England won the Super Bowl, but I think New Orleans maybe won the day. I really do.
I really do. I think, you know, I've seen that headline, and I couldn't agree more. It was, wow, what an amazing, like, turnout yesterday downtown.
Yeah, that was
amazing.
That was something. All right, coming up on the show, a little more on this, but at least now we could start to finally put this whole episode behind us, because if you've listened to this show for the last couple of weeks, obviously – this is what people are still upset about. This is what people were talking about, and now it's over, and now we'll move on. I can't wait for 2019. I can't wait for that season, because the Saints are looking good. There's no reason why they shouldn't be right in the same position they were in last year. They look real good. So most people are saying the same thing this morning about yesterday's Super Bowl. A Super Bowl game to forget, and not only a game to forget, the lowest scoring Super Bowl in NFL history, but the halftime show. They had Maroon 5.
Ugh.
They had the latest black guy that a Kardashian sister is doing sex with. And then they had Big Boy from Outkast,
right,
who's from Atlanta. And I got to be honest with you, you know, I watched it just because I do this for a living, and I have to be able to comment on it and what people are saying about it.
Right, right.
Most people are saying that not only did the game stink, But the halftime show was instantly forgettable. I have one of my Facebook friends, a female radio person I used to work with, she's an extremely feminine woman. And after the halftime show, she tweeted, I have more masculinity in one of my arms than I just watched, and that was on that stage at that halftime show. Maroon 5, let's just say, was not the most masculine thing out there.
Right. I don't understand. When they made the announcement, I was still like, but really? We couldn't get anybody but Maroon 5?
We talked about it on this show. I mean, when you're talking about Super Bowl halftime, you're talking about the biggest names in music history.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about Prince.
Right.
You're talking about...
The Who.
Paul McCartney.
Right.
I mean, now they have run out of immense names. They've run out of huge names like that to have. What are they going to do as they move forward for the halftime show? Because, you know, I mean, after Maroon 5 plays a couple of songs, and then the rapper Travis Scott comes out and he swore a few times, expletives, and they had a bleep. They had a black it out. And then Maroon 5 came back again, and then they brought the rapper from Outkast, and then Maroon 5 came back again. I guess they kind of wanted to make it a little bit for everybody, but be inclusive. But it just wasn't.
I didn't watch one second of it, but I saw on the internet that apparently, like, at some point, the lead singer guy, Adam, whatever his name is.
Levine.
Right. He took his shirt off, and yes. Everybody was like, wow, this guy's got a lot of tattoos. And then somebody actually made the comments that, oh, Janet Jackson can't take off her top, but Adam Levine can. I mean, what's going on?
And they're right about that.
Right.
You know, not only when Janet Jackson, what they call it, a wardrobe malfunction.
That's what it was, yeah.
When she was playing with Justin Timberlake. Right. Timberlake. By the way, that's John Marty filling in for Brewster. Marty, that changed the FCC. That changed radio after that happened with Janet Jackson. Rules for television and radio and all. That changed everything. That made life a lot more difficult for people like me, who used to be able to get away with more things and do more things on the radio. And I can blame Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake for that. Yeah, so that's not okay to see her attractive bosom, but it's okay to see Adam Levine's bosom. Both of them.
Right.
Yeah, and the tank top he was wearing before that left Twitter confused.
Yeah.
Again, just not the most masculine, you know, the thing that we saw. So we'll see. And onward and upward for the Saints fans. And I know many people didn't watch the game around here, and that's great. And I enjoyed spending some time over at Boycott Bowl. I was lucky enough to get up on stage and introduce Dash Rip Rock and just thousands of people. Whether it was that or earlier in the day at the Jazz funeral, that was insane. The second line was insane. New Orleans really, again, knows how to take something, just a massive disappointment, and turn it into a once-in-a-lifetime massive party. Really good stuff. Do you see the story about the governor of Virginia?
No.
This is something else. His name is Ralph Northam. He's a Democrat, and he's making headlines because a photo from his medical school yearbook back in 1984 just surfaced. And the photo is of two guys. One of them's in blackface, and the other is in a Ku Klux Klansman outfit. So someone said that this is the sitting governor of Virginia in this photo, and he said, yeah, that was me. Now, we still don't know which one. I think he's in blackface.
Right.
Or if he's the Klansman.
Because, if you Google this picture, I mean, there's no way you could tell who those people are.
No,
I mean,
you don't know.
He's got, the guy in blackface has got glasses on, too, like sunglasses. So it's like there's no way you'll be able to know who exactly it was.
So it was Thursday of last week where this news broke, and he admitted it. He said, boy, geez, I was way back in 1984 when I was in college. I feel bad about that, blah, blah, blah. Then the next day, on Friday, he said, you know what? That wasn't me. I don't recall that. So now we all know he's a liar. Because why would he have admitted to it on Thursday? Obviously, some people got to him Thursday night, and he tried to maybe sweep something under the rug. And,
right, spin it.
But now he's got all kinds of Democrats calling for him to resign, including Hillary Clinton. I don't even know if it matters what that woman says anymore.
Right.
But that crazy young socialistic Democrat, that nut from New York, that 29-year-old, she even said that he needs to resign. And it was the 1984 Eastern Virginia Medical School yearbook.
It's in the yearbook?
Yeah. You know, and some people are trying to say that that it's so awful. It shows you what a racist country we're in, and you know, in 1984, someone dressing up like a Klansman for Halloween, and then someone dressing up in blackface. Yeah, they probably could have picked other costumes. You know, I could always say that I used to dress up for Halloween, and I never dressed up in blackface, and I never dressed up as a Klansman. But what this guy needs to resign, right?
I don't know how you don't if you've already admitted it.
Now, their former governor in the state of Virginia, a guy who helped their current governor, Ralph Northam, get elected, he's going to be running for president in 2020. His name is Terry McAuliffe, and he is a Democrat, and he's going to be running for president. Now people are looking at him saying, this is the guy you helped put in? So now he's probably finished. And Terry McAuliffe said that he needs to step down the governor, Ralph Northam. He says it doesn't matter whether he was in that photo or not. He said, at this point, we have to close that chapter. Something else that's interesting about this, too. When this story broke on Thursday and CNN broke the story, and it said Virginia Governor Ralph Northam pictured in blackface in 1984, and then it said Republican governor, and that was up there for a few seconds, and then people started screaming, well, you made a mistake. He's a Democratic governor. And it makes you wonder if CNN, you know, did that on purpose, because right, we all know that everybody that works there despises Donald Trump and everything about him. And
I mean, maybe it was an honest mistake. Maybe they just, like, they're so used to typing Republican. It was just.
well, maybe. Yeah, with something with negative news. You're, that's John Marty, by the way, filling in for Brewster. But what a, he's not going to survive this.
No, there's no way.
He's,
no, if he admitted it, there's no way you're backtracking on that one.
Yeah. I think maybe even by the time the sun goes down today, he is going to resign as governor of Virginia. Isn't that something, you know, because of a picture that he was in 1984, it messed up his life. In 2019, I remember when I was a kid, and I know if you're on your way to work this morning, I'm sure that you've told your kids. I mean, even the littlest dumb thing that they do now, especially with the internet, it's even worse now. Pictures and such with the internet. I mean, how many of these attractive young women have you seen posing for these very sexy, scantily clad shots? You know, when they're 21, 22, 23 years old. You know, 40, 50 years from now, when they're grandmothers. That stuff's going to still be out there. And man, your grandmother was hot back then. Look at Nana. Look at Mima. Yeah. Look at Nana way back when. Look at that. Boy, oh boy. But this is something how a photo from 1984 just ended this guy's political life. In 2019. A picture from 1984.
But it was in the yearbook. I'm like, dang, that's pretty bad. That's that. It would be different if it was just like floating around, like, you know, somebody clearly had it out for him and was like, hey, look, here's a picture I had him like in a shoebox somewhere laying around. Now I'm suddenly going to throw it up on the internet and cause a scandal. But that's public. Everybody has it's public knowledge right there.
And it's got his name on the top of the yearbook page. It says Ralph Northam. And then it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 pictures of him.
Oh,
and
God.
The other three pictures, him in a suit, like a yearbook photo. Him dressed as a cowboy with a cowboy hat and boots on one knee in a field. And then him standing in front of a really nice convertible of a sports car. And then the fourth photo is him and a friend who decided to go to a Halloween party as one guy in blackface and one guy as a Ku Klux Klansman. And so this will end his political career. Isn't it something?
Wow.
Even though, you know, in 1984, I mean, like, racism is racism, but I think back then, dressing in blackface, I mean, I think it's looked at a lot worse now than it was in 1984. And one other thing about him, there's a rumor going around, and this was brought up on the news, that his nickname may have been Coon Man. And he's not from Louisiana, so we're not talking about a coon ass.
What?
That's what was going on. Yeah, and over the weekend on CNN, CNN's Jake Tapper brought that up.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That seems like a bit of a stretch. But
no,
still,
they brought it up on the news. They said, was his nickname, one of his nicknames, Coon Man or not? Boy, that's something. So I'm predicting by sundown today, he's out as the governor of Virginia. And then what happens? Does the lieutenant governor take over for a little while until they?
Oh yeah, and you know the lieutenant governor is actually a black guy
in Virginia.
Yes,
boy, that would be something. Huh?
That'll be something right there.
And we'll see if this crushes the career of their former governor, the guy who's going to run for president, who really, really did everything he could to help Ralph Northam become the governor of Georgia, and that's Terry McAuliffe. Maybe his political career ended this week, too, because he was going to run for president, but if this is the guy that he really worked hard for to make sure he was going to be the next governor of Virginia, boy, oh, boy. Never a dull moment in the political world, is there?
Right.
Is there? John Marty is filling in for Brewster this morning.
Morning.
And I've never said this to you, but Brewster and I have talked about this before. When we've played that song in the past, Every Breath You Take, one of the biggest hits that Sting and the Police ever wrote.
Sure.
I bet you that song couldn't be written and released today as a single.
What do you mean? What's wrong with it?
If you listen to that song, that is any stalker, that is the stalking anthem. I'll be watching you every breath you take, every move you make. I will be in your front yard. I will be where you work. I will be in the back seat of your car. Everywhere. I'm telling you. I think that that song would have a difficult time today.
I see. I've never really thought about it like that. But yeah, it is a little creepy, isn't it?
Being released as a single, and you know, we've mentioned how much times have changed over the last 10 years, over the last 20 years, over the last 30 years, things that people used to be able to say they can't say anymore, things that evidently people just actions that they have and things that they do, we've learned more, call it political correctness that's become out of control. But I don't know if that song right there would, he could have written it, and maybe it could have been a B-side. But it
probably wouldn't have been as big of a hit.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have been the number one single that.
I didn't think about that.
I don't know. So the pop star Ariana Grande is in the news again. She's the lady that dated the guy on Saturday Night Live for a little while.
Sure.
And they broke up, and he threatened he was going to kill himself. Now he's dating Kate Beckinsale.
What?
Who's a beautiful actress who's old enough to be his mother.
Seriously, like, right?
Pete Davidson we're talking about.
Right, Pete Davidson's like, what, in his 20s? And yeah. She's like in her 40s.
She's still gorgeous.
Oh, she is hot.
She's one of the prettiest actresses.
Oh, my God. Kate Beckinsale.
But anyways, Ariana Grande got some tattoo, and it was written in Japanese. Letters.
Oh, you're talking about her tattoo fail.
Yeah, and it said the wrong thing. She got a tattoo written in Japanese.
First of all, why do you get a tattoo on your palm of your hand, right? That's a dumb place to get a tattoo. Because the skin comes off immediately. I mean, that tattoo won't last but like a year.
Yeah, and she thought she was getting a tattoo that read Seven Rings because that's the name of her latest single.
Right.
But instead, it translated into a Japanese barbecue grill. So, like, Japanese people were looking at it and says, hey, she must love the barbecue.
Right? I mean,
her favorite, brisket or pulled pork?
Apparently, the one symbol is seven and the other symbol is rings, but if you put the two of them together, it is like the logo or the name of a barbecue grill.
So people were making fun of her. She went nuts on Twitter over the weekend, screaming about how she got her tattoo fixed. And she's ranting about cultural appropriation. Oh, yeah, this is what I want to hear about, cultural appropriation from a 25-year-old Pop-Tart.
Right, please.
Like Ariana Grande. Right.
She's very pretty, just as long as her mouth is closed or whatever you want.
I've never had Japanese barbecue. I mean, I've had American barbecue, and then you start talking about Kansas City, North Carolina. You know, I've had a lot of good barbecue in my life. And
I love tattoo fails.
By the way, best barbecue in New Orleans? Have you been to Central City Barbecue?
Of course.
It's worth taking a risk driving in that neighborhood.
Right, that neighborhood's a little dicey over there in Central City, over there by the old train station. But, man, that's great barbecue. Central City is fantastic, right? I get the rib tips. Mmm.
Somebody should tell Ariana Grande that's where she should eat the next time she comes to town. Yeah. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, and we finish our show every morning with our segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
February 4th. It was today in 1974. One of the most famous people that ever got kidnapped in our country, got kidnapped. No, not the Lindbergh baby, and no, not Frank Sinatra Jr. Patty Hearst was kidnapped today. She was the 19-year-old granddaughter of William Randolph Hearst, who owned a gazillion newspapers, and he was a big deal. And people always wondered about Patty Hearst because, and back then, this is when we didn't have cable television. There was three channels, three networks, and then a couple of local channels in each market, but the news, the network news, was infatuated with this case, and because they showed it all the time, America and Americans became infatuated with this case.
Sure.
She gets kidnapped, and then they don't know where she is for a little while. It was just a handful of militant nuts who kidnapped her. But then all of a sudden, she appears, video camera, a bank with a gun, robbing a bank with these guys and saying that her name isn't Patty anymore, it's Tanya. And then people wondered if, wait a minute, was she really kidnapped or was she part of this whole thing? And look, I've read a lot about this and I've seen a documentary came on over the last year and we talked about it. In my opinion, the kidnapping was legitimate. She didn't want to be kidnapped and she was kidnapped by these people. But once she started hanging out with them, they called it Stockholm Syndrome. I think she liked rebelling. These people were all around her age. They had a problem with the rich. They had a problem with this. They had a problem with that. And so I don't know if it was Stockholm Syndrome or if she just said, yeah, I'll go rob the bank with you. I'm bored. I'm this loaded granddaughter of William Randolph Hearst. And I'm the daughter of Randolph Hearst, his son. He was a big deal. And she kind of went along with it for a while. And hey, she's still alive today.
Right. I mean, she was beautiful, too. I mean,
she's a good-looking woman.
That helped a lot with the whole media circus around her.
Yeah. So that happened today in 1974. February 4th. It was today, in the year 2004, Facebook launched.
That's crazy to think.
I know, it's a 2019 now, so that was 15 years ago. Most of the people that I know who are on Facebook have been on for a while. Like, I've been on for about 10 years now.
Right.
And you know, still dealing with MySpace, too. But that's when most people I know who are on Facebook got on Facebook. So, Facebook was around for about 4 to 5 years, 5 years or so, before it really, really, really took off into the next universe, because 2.3 billion people are on Facebook, and if Facebook were a country, it would be the largest country in the world.
Well, it seems like it's been around forever, and it's crazy to put a number on like 15 years. And how different are our lives now with Facebook? Like, it is insane how you keep up with everybody across the world now that you know, normally you'd have to pick up the phone and call them or write a letter. Now you don't have to. You just Facebook them.
Well, once a year on your birthday, you hear from people that you never hear from the rest of the year, but you always hear from them once a year on Facebook when they tell you happy birthday. Okay, thank you. I'll see you again next year when you see the same thing. And I've always thought Facebook was interesting. I used to be into it a little bit more than I am now. I think the blush has worn off the Facebook rose. But I will say, be a part of our radio station on Facebook, because then, I mean, all day and all night, we put up videos that are entertaining and funny and stories and pictures and stuff. And if you're a part of our radio station, if you like our radio station on Facebook, all of that stuff comes right into your... right there onto your newsfeed.
Shameless plug.
Well, why today doesn't suck.
It is an entertaining Facebook page. I sit there and I chuckle at some of the stuff I see on our Facebook page. It's great. And I just wanted to say one other thing about the creator of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. They always said he was never a social butterfly. I mean, when he started Facebook, he literally had no friends.
Right. If you haven't seen that movie, Social Network, that movie, I think, portrays him exactly the way that he really was.
Imagine a guy that has no friends, now he has more Facebook friends than anybody could ever imagine.
Most recognizable name and face, probably, in the world.
Yeah. February 4th. It was today in 1969, the PLO is founded, not the rock band.
No, that's ELO.
Yeah, this is the Palestine Liberation Organization.
Oh, good.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Today in 1969, founded, Yasser Arafat was its leader. And then it only took 5 years for him to be able, they built up themselves, and he was able to go over to the United Nations and speak.
Not a lot of guys named Yasser anymore. Yasser.
And to this day, they're still fighting for that piece of land. They have an issue with Israel, and they're fighting for that small piece of land, and it goes on and on. And I don't know if you'll ever see an end in sight. When is that thing going to end? Mm. Got a couple of celebrity birthdays. Happy birthday to the man who redefined the position of linebacker in the NFL. Lawrence Taylor,
LT,
turned 60 today. Yeah, you know you're pretty big when they can only call you by your initials and everybody knows who you're talking about.
That dude was amazing. Like, we were the sack leader for a while there.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, he redefined the position of linebackers. Now there's a lot of linebackers that try to emulate Lawrence Taylor and be like him with his speed and power. But LT's had some issues in his life. In 2011, he pleaded guilty to doing sex with a 16-year-old prostitute, although he said he had no idea she was 16.
Right.
People believe him.
Sure.
But fans still probably remember him most as the legendary crackhead that he was. He had a big issue with the crack and the pipe, and you put those two things together, it was pretty rough. And happy birthday to former boxer, a real good one too, Oscar De La Hoya. He's 46 today.
He's still pretty.
Well, yeah, and I've heard if you want to send him a gift, he's registered at Victoria's Secret.
Oh, yes.
They seem to say.
No.
About all. I'll ask her. And today is February 4th. Usually Brewster's the one that tells us what ridiculous day it is today, because every day is some other day. Today is Mail Carrier Day.
Mail Carrier.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
So please show some gratitude to your mail carrier if he or she happens to show up at your home today.
Hey, you can't forget the Alice Cooper's birthday today either.
Happy 71st birthday to Alice Cooper.
Godfather Shock Rock.
Yes. You know, and people like Kiss could say, hey, man, Alice Cooper did that thing first. Obviously, someone like Marilyn Manson should be paying him a few bucks. And it's amazing that Alice Cooper made it to 71 years of age. If you looked at his old concert footage from back in the day, back in the 70s, he used to get his head cut off in a guillotine every show.
Every show.
There he was the next night in the next city. He was something else.
And a very avid golfer. Who knew?
Well, drinking almost killed him. And if he didn't stop drinking, he wouldn't still be alive today. And when you know, when you talk to most recovered alcoholics or alcoholics who are still recovering every day because it never ends, they will tell you that you have to find something to put in the place of all of that time that you drank. And golf is a, it works for Alice.
Sure.
February 4th, it was today in 2004, Art Garfunkel pleads guilty to marijuana possession.
Why today doesn't suck.
He was charged after police pulled his limousine over for speeding in Hurley, New York. But you know you're living the life. It's 2004. You're Art Garfunkel. You're in a limousine. Not only are you smoking weed in the back, but your limo driver is got a heavy foot.
Had to get somewhere quickly.
Well, isn't that something?
Right.
And a guy that could sing some of those Paul Simon songs that were written for a voice like that. It just absolutely incredible when you think about it. And finally, George Washington was elected President of the United States today.
Old wooden tooth.
Well, in 1789, 69 members of Congress cast their ballots to elect George Washington, the first President of the United States. And I think that guy did a great job. And he wasn't only, obviously, a president. That was a military hero. There was a couple of times he should have been dead. He helped save this nation during the Revolution. And it makes you wonder if guys like, you know, Donald Trump or Barack Obama, you know, could be military heroes like George Washington.
I don't really see Barack, like, ride across the Delaware there, right?
No. Unless Michelle was dragging him, you know, and then maybe that would happen. And that's why, historically, February 4th doesn't suck, and it's a segment on this show that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
You know, yesterday was one of those days that I will never, ever forget being in New Orleans, and it's one of those days that shows the rest of the country, the rest of the world, that New Orleans, we do things a different way here. We do things our own way. And after having such a massive disappointment with what happened in the NFC Championship game, turning that into massive parties all day yesterday, and they lasted into the night, and they were in different parts of town, absolutely incredible. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget being at Boycott Bowl on Fulton Street, hopping up on stage and introducing Dash Rip Rock. That was a thrill for me. Instead of wallowing in our misery, look what we did. We just had a great time. And every football fan who watched the NFC Championship game, you know, they all know a blown non-pass interference call or helmet-to-helmet call or hitting a defenseless receiver call. They missed three penalties on one play. Everybody who watched that game knows that the wrong team was sent to the Super Bowl. So that's what was so good about yesterday, because the Rams couldn't win because they didn't deserve to be there.
God didn't want it to happen.
No. And that's John Marty filling in for Brewster today. And I just had such a great time. And whether it was the Boycott Bowl or whether it was the Jazz funeral before that, the second line before
that. That was insane, right? I mean, that was like, I've never seen that many people. It was like Jackson Square was just like a sea of just heads everywhere.
It was nuts. The one thing that can bring this city together, black, white, conservative, liberal, Christian, Jewish, atheist, the one thing that can bring this everybody in the city together is that football team. The New Orleans Saints.
Because, like, you know, when they're talking about, oh, we're going to do a second line and then there's going to be a concert downtown, I'm thinking, really, is anybody going to come out to those? I mean, how's that going to work? And then, wow.
Yeah, who knew? And all of it was thrown together so quickly because we didn't have much time.
And it was insane. The costumes were fantastic. I mean, I expected nothing less, of course, but still, you know, I love the theme was called Blackout and Gold Parade.
Yes.
Love it.
No, it was a great day, and something yesterday, Super Bowl Sunday 2019, is a day that New Orleans Saints fans could look back at and pat ourselves on the back for doing something. That wouldn't have happened in any other city.
No,
Really?
Right.
You know, there might have been a group or something of people in a city that said, hey, come over here. It wouldn't have been citywide like our was, and it wouldn't have just the thousands upon thousands and thousands and thousands. I don't know the exact number of people that were around yesterday doing partying in the streets, not watching the Super Bowl, but it was something else. And it's much like I will never forget 10 years ago when the Saints won the Super Bowl. I'll never forget being upstairs. I was lucky enough to be invited to a party. Dickie Brennan invited me to a private party above his Bourbon House restaurant there on Bourbon Street. And I'll never forget when Tracy Porter intercepted that ball at the end of the game, running out to the balcony, watching everybody come out onto Bourbon Street and dropping my phone at the time. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. It was it was one of those flip phones.
Oh, you were a big baller.
I needed a new one anyways.
You were a baller right there.
But yeah, dropping that onto Bourbon Street when thousands of people show up there, it was insane. I will never forget yesterday. And time to move on now. And by the way, the game many are calling the worst Super Bowl ever.
Ugh.
I mean, it was the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. And
I mean, that's what I'm more excited about, is to see what the ratings are today when they, you know, they apparently released the Nielsen ratings.
Yeah, they'll come out today. We'll see.
We'll see.
And the only thing as bad as the game was the halftime show.
Oh.
Which a lot of people are talking about. And it wasn't the most masculine halftime show. Whether it was Adam Levine from Maroon 5 and his tank top that looked like it was cut from a curtain. And then he took his shirt off.
Right. What? Hey, Janet Jackson can't take her top off, but suddenly Adam Levine can.
I know. She shows one nipple, and it changes. The FCC changes it for everybody, including radio.
Right.
The rules. We're all still paying for that.
Still.
Yet Adam Levine could come out in a woman's tank top and then take that off, and we could see both of his nipples, both of his wardrobe malfunctions, and nothing happens.
Nope.
And then you had the one rapper from Outkast. He comes out in the fur coat. Just the whole thing. It was just. And then the one rapper who's dating the Kardashian comes out and starts swearing. And Travis Scott. They had to hit the dump button a couple of times. And again, and if you didn't watch it, you didn't miss much. You didn't miss. A well-played, exciting football game.
Right.
I mean, it was...
I skipped the whole thing. I actually turned on the TV by accident. It was on the channel. I had to change it real quick. Ah!
Yeah, I was at Boycott Bowl for a lot of the day. I did keep one eye on the Super Bowl, though. I mean, I have a lazy, wandering eye, so that's... I'm blaming that for that.
Is that what that is?
But that was that. But I don't know if you saw this news that came out on Friday. We all remember the Saints superfan who needed a new liver a couple of years ago. The little black kid.
J.J.
Robertson. He was the Saints superfan. America fell in love with this kid.
Oh, you can't not love that kid. I mean, he's so charismatic and hilarious.
When his story went viral, how he needs a new liver and it doesn't look like he's going to make it, America then chipped in. And America donated. And they donated hundreds of thousands of dollars. So this super fan, Jarius J.J. Robertson, could get a new liver. Remember him? Did you see what happened on Friday?
Ooh.
His father, the feds are looking into him, and his father now is being accused of not only robbing that fund, because, yeah, J.J., little J.J. Robertson got his new liver, but it was 100% paid for by Medicare.
Oh, wow.
There were hundreds of thousands of dollars in that fund. His father took all the money.
Oh, wow.
Gambled it away. His father. That's what the feds are saying. Can you believe that?
Because I remember back in October that the DEA raided the offices for JJ's dad. And so clearly there was something going on, but I guess now we know.
Well, on Friday, the federal court here in New Orleans, actually, right next door to from where we're sitting, they said, yeah, you're being charged with embezzlement. These are serious felonies. As a matter of fact, J.J. Robertson's father will be back in that federal court downtown New Orleans today.
Ooh.
What a horrible story.
Awful.
You know, that's a story where we saw something bad, that the little kid, J.J. Robertson, the Saints superfan, needed a new liver. And then we saw the best of people, how they donated. I don't know the exact number. We're going to learn more of the exact numbers coming up. This is upwards of $1 million.
Wow.
And then his 35-year-old father, Jordy Robertson, being accused of robbing every nickel from that.
And gambling with
gambling.
It?
Gambling. Yeah. Oh. I mean, losing $100,000 here, losing money. How awful is that? And in one blink of an eye, you see the best of people, you see the worst of people. And so stay tuned, because, like I said, little J.J. Robertson, who's fine now, he got his new liver and he's running out, he's doing great. But his father isn't going to be doing great because he's being accused of robbing everything from that kid's liver fund. Isn't that something?
There's a dark, dark place.
Well, I guess he found out it was going to be paid for by the government, Medicare, and then once he found that out, he went and that's what the feds are saying. He took all of that money.
Wow.
It makes you sick.
It is awful.
To be honest with you. So every Friday we do a segment on the show called The Dumbest Thing I Read All Week. This would have been a finalist for it, but I wanted to, and today's only Monday, I know, but I wanted to bring it to you now. A guy robbed a bank in Texas, and he tried escaping on an electric scooter. An electric scooter.
Right? The number one rule for robbing a bank is you got to have a good getaway vehicle or something like that, but a scooter?
An electric scooter, not only that goes only about 15 miles an hour, but it was rented. And anybody that's ever rented an electric scooter knows you have to put in your phone number. You have to put in information to rent that scooter.
Like a credit card.
Yeah. And all of this bank robber's information was in there. This happened recently in Texas. The guy's name, Luca Mangiarano.
He must have not been an older guy. He must have been a younger dude.
Well, he robbed the bank in Texas, and then he escaped. This happened in Austin, and he escaped on one of those rental scooters, and the cops were baffled because they said they learned several things during this investigation, that every scooter has its own design, every scooter, like its own paint job, what's on there, and can easily be
tracked. I think they actually have a GPS on it, too.
Yeah. And again, not just that, but if you have one of those, if you rented one of those to, let's say, rob a bank, you have to leave all of your personal information with the company you're renting it for.
Didn't take them long to find that kid, did it?
On top of the fact it only goes 15 miles an hour. Boy, I wish they had video of that chase, but I don't even think there was a chase. I think the guy got to where he was going, and then a few minutes later, the cops just showed up. They're like, right. Yeah, we have all your information here.
How did you find me?
And that scooter was described very well sitting outside your house. What a dope. John Marty's filling in for Brewster this morning. You were just telling me off the air, John Marty, that there's a concert that they do every night before the Super Bowl in that city where the Super Bowl's at.
Right.
And it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you just told me that Aerosmith and the Foo Fighters and Bruno Mars played?
It was insane. Like, that was a crazy lineup. And they do it, like, you know, like, I guess just inside the stadium. And, they pull out all the stops. You made a great point. Why wasn't that in the halftime show?
That would have been a hell of a halftime show compared to what everybody got.
Right.
And if you didn't watch the game because of what happened to the Saints, God bless you and more power to you. I have a wandering, lazy eye. And even though I was at Boycott Bowl yesterday on Fulton Street, running around having a good time, I did keep one eye on what was going on the game. And the game, the lowest scoring game in NFL Super Bowl history, not a great game. Kind of a snooze fest, to be honest with you. And then the only thing that was as bad as the game was the halftime show.
Right.
With Maroon 5 and one swearing rapper and then another rapper who's wearing a fur coat. And it just wasn't the most masculine halftime show that we've ever seen.
Right. You think about all those great halftime shows that have ever been, like Prince and Who.
Oh, yeah. You start bringing up the biggest names in music history.
Bruno Mars.
But where do they go now? Where do they go from? Who's left? And we all know yesterday that a lot of the black guys said they didn't want to perform because of Colin Kaepernick and how the NFL was treating him. But where does the NFL go with the halftime show? Ugh. But boy, the night before, you're telling me Aerosmith and the Foo Fighters?
Right.
And Bruno Mars?
Right.
They couldn't have brought Bruno Mars back. He just recently played too soon ago.
But seriously, they did like 19 songs or something like that for DirecTV Does This Thing. And I guess they film it, and I guess we'll be able to see it eventually.
Cool.
But still, like, yeah, what a crazy, before the Super Bowl, they do these crazy concerts, and that thing looks like awesome.
Well, if you didn't watch any of the Super Bowl yesterday, any of it, halftime show, game, again, God bless you. That was your right, looking back at what happened to the Saints in the NFC Championship game. And it wasn't just Saints fans who complained about the refs. Everyone who watched the game, millions of people who watched the game, they all know. They all know what happened. And so the fact of the matter is, that the Los Angeles Rams couldn't win the Super Bowl yesterday because they didn't deserve to be there. That's a fact. And they were an illegitimate Super Bowl team, whether they want to admit it or not. But I guarantee you, 99% of football fans who watched that NFC Championship game know that. And our city showed us just another reason yesterday why we're so proud to call the city home. Whether it was what started out in the morning as the second line, as the Super Bowl jazz funeral,
right? They called it the blackout and gold parade. I loved it.
That was really cool. I mean, I don't know how many people. If you see the pictures, thousands upon thousands. And then I was a part of the Boycott Bowl yesterday, which ended up being a 10-hour from noon until 10 p.m. show. And I was there for a few hours late in the afternoon.
Right there in Fulton Street.
Yeah. I got a chance to get on stage and introduce Dash Rip Rock, which blew me away because I couldn't see the street. I couldn't see anything. All you could see for just people everywhere.
Right. It was like Mardi Gras.
And that basically, it started out, they sold 3,000 tickets, and it was thrown together so quickly. And they sold 3,000 tickets at $10 a pop, with all of that money going to the New Orleans Recreation Department, which is really cool. But then I guess, I don't know, at some point during the day yesterday, they just said, because there were people sneaking in, it basically turned into Woodstock. They kicked the fences over and they said, this is now a free concert. And they said, don't eat the brown acid. And they said, get off of that tower up there. they said a few things, but that's what happened yesterday. So by last night, I don't know how many thousands of people.
It was nuts. I showed up late at 7, and it was like there were just people still everywhere. Yeah, there was no way they could keep everybody out.
Is that the last time we're ever going to hear that Chapa song? Now, look,
I mean,
think it's great that a song that was 17 years old got brought back from the abyss.
Thank you, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, that got because of the dance, because it's not because of the lyrics.
No.
I mean, a dumber song. I don't know if it's possible to write a dumber song, but I get the hook, and I get the fact, the dance, and he's a rapper from New Orleans who was helped out by the entrepreneur, the brilliant legend who is Master P. I get it, but it's something that song was dragged out of wherever from 17 years ago, and I wonder if it's going to come back next year.
Joppa's got like a whole new career. Like it's just suddenly like the money's rolling in all of a sudden.
Could you imagine something you did 17 years ago? Somebody calls you up and says, hey, you're making lots of money for it now. That'd be something, huh?
Right.
One other thing, though. And so again, what the city of New Orleans pulled off yesterday in such a short amount of time, just another reason to be so proud to call this city home. People were talking about what was going on in New Orleans yesterday all over the country.
Yeah, the media was all over.
Yeah, and they all agreed with what was happening, and they all agreed that the Saints got the screws, and they should have been in that Super Bowl, and who knows what would have happened if the Saints played yesterday.
Certainly would have been a lot more exciting.
You would think.
Like, I've heard people was like, why couldn't it have been the Chiefs and the Saints? That would have been a way better Super Bowl.
Wow. One other thing about yesterday's Super Bowl. It wasn't just the Saints football team and fans in the city of New Orleans and the New Orleans metropolitan region who were ruined or who were just devastated. Look at the money businesses around here lost, whether you're talking about restaurants, caterers, people that make king cakes. People, think about the money all the different businesses the money that they would have made if the Saints were in the Super Bowl. It cost them, just think about it. We weren't the only ones who were robbed. Yesterday, the Los Angeles Rams were the first team to have two male cheerleaders stand there and cheer next to their cheerleaders. We got robbed there, too, because only two teams in the NFL this year had male cheerleaders. The Rams were one of them, and the Saints were the other.
Correct.
We had only one. I believe his name was Jesse. Remember we talked about Jesse before? Jesse's dream. Jesse was robbed, too. Not just the fans, the organization, the players, the businesses, the whole New Orleans metropolitan region, but our sole lone male cheerleader, Jesse. And I don't know if you watched much of Jesse this year, but boy, was Jesse sassy.
He was, wasn't he?
And I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. Just like I say the Saints are a better football team than the Rams, I'm taking Jesse as my male cheerleader over those two.
Wow.
Those two guys.
Is that okay?
Quentin and Napoleon were the two
male and Napoleon?
Los Angeles Rams cheerleaders. That's what their names.
Fabulous.
Quentin and Napoleon.
Wow.
But they weren't nearly as sassy as Jesse, and they didn't use nearly as much hair product in their hair.
Yeah, Jesse's hair is on point, right? It does kind of like a slope off the top of his head. It's like almost like a Shoney's Big Boy kind of. Whew.
And if you listen to this show when he made news headlines at the beginning of the season for being the Saints' first male cheerleader, I know he took some crap on social media. I know there were people making fun of him, and all I said was, look, if you don't want a male cheerleader on your team, just don't look at him. Just look at the female Saint Stations. Don't look at Jesse. You know, don't let his flamboyance and don't let his sassiness ruin your Saints football experience.
Exactly. You don't have to look.
That's no! What,
you don't have to pay attention to Jesse.
Look at the female Saint Stations.
There you go.
But I could say this. I guarantee you Drew Brees wouldn't have collapsed even before the game started yesterday like the Rams quarterback Jared Goff collapsed before the game started. And I guarantee you Jesse, the Saints male cheerleader, I think he would have done a better job than Napoleon and Quentin, the two other male cheerleaders in the NFL who happened to be cheering for the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, boy.
I mean... And we'll see what happens next year, not only for the Saints football team, and Saints Nation, Who Dat Nation, but we'll see what happens for Jesse, that sassy Saints male cheerleader.
Fabulous.
So, you know, even though people, many people around New Orleans and didn't watch the Super Bowl yesterday because of us getting the screws in the NFC Championship game, and that was great.
I didn't watch. Not a second of it.
John Marty filling in for Brewster today. Yeah, you didn't. I have a lazy wandering eye. I just kept kind of that on it for a little bit. But I enjoyed being out yesterday at the Boycott Bowl on Fulton Street, and I got up on stage and introduced Dash Rip Rock, and it was just insane. I'll never forget yesterday. That was crazy. But one thing about the Super Bowl, whether you watched or not, that we've come to know about over the years are the prop bets, they're called.
Right, there's an insane amount
and
of
I've
prop
got,
bets.
I've got a story about a prop bet. Because you could bet, and a prop bet is betting on anything. I mean, obviously you could bet on the game, but you could also bet on who's going to win the coin toss.
But I think that's the most popular one.
You could bet on who's going to score first, what player. You could bet, one of the things, I mean, you could bet on anything.
Right. Like, I think you can even bet on what Belichick is going to wear in the game.
Yes, you can. Like they have all different crazy prop bets.
Crazy.
One of the prop bets yesterday, John Marty, because Gladys Knight was singing the national anthem, you could have legally bet they put the over-under at 1:50.
Really?
So you could have gone in and you could have bet she's going to sing the national anthem over 1:50, or her version of the national anthem is going to be under 1:50. And so tons of people bet on that. And I think most of the money went over. Because, you know, when you get a chance like this, especially someone like Gladys Knight, who hasn't been in the spotlight in how many years, you're going to stand out there as long as you possibly can.
Right.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
The national anthem, she did it in 2:01. Oh. So if you bet over 1:50, you're winning.
She was holding on to those notes. She was drawing them out.
Yes. Here's the problem. That's the one bet that Las Vegas said, we are not paying out. Because a couple hours before the game started, one of the cameramen from CBS tweeted, she practiced it a couple times and it's coming in around 2 minutes.
Oh,
so
we got a little insider scoop.
It was almost like it was fixed.
Insider information.
So that was the one bet that most casinos and most sports book rooms and most online booking. By the way, all of that should be legal here in Louisiana next year.
Right.
It should be because it is in Mississippi now.
I'm telling you.
And we were a little bit late on that.
We're missing out on major money.
Huge money we're missing out on. Can you imagine for something, maybe not yesterday because of what happened to the Saints, but could you imagine not just for the Super Bowl but any Sunday, walking over here to Harrah's on Poydras Street and walking into the massive sports book room and legally being able to sit down, bet 50 or 100 bucks on the Saints?
Because Vegas, if you've ever been to Vegas before, that
it's insane.
Super Bowl weekend is insane. It's like a zoo in Vegas.
It's like the only thing that it compares to is Final Four weekend with the NCAA basketball.
Right, the basketball.
Because you got the Saturday, the two games, and then the Monday night.
Right.
Oh, Vegas goes crazy. And now that's happening in Mississippi. That's happening in New Jersey. Because their state legislators realized when it became legal around the country to do it last year. Our guys were too slow in Baton Rouge. But they have to get that done this year because we're losing a lot of money right now, a lot of tax revenue.
Right,
we're losing a lot of money to Mississippi.
Bucks, right.
We're losing a lot of money. People are going from Louisiana on Saturdays during college season, football season, Sundays during pro season. They're driving right over the line there to go make that happen.
Absolutely.
So, when I read that even if you won on Gladys Knight, going over a minute and 50 seconds to sing the Super Bowl, you didn't get paid because that information was leaked 2 hours before the game. Whether you saw it or not, you're not getting paid. And that stinks when it looks like you won a bet.
Right.
But you got
screwed.
But you didn't. I'll tell you, whether it's college football now with Nick Saban in Alabama or professional football, the NFL, with Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and the New England Patriots, I don't think we're ever going to see this again. This is generational.
it's unprecedented.
Dynasties with the way they dominate. I always go back to one thing whenever I talk about Nick Saban at Alabama. When he left LSU to go to the NFL because grass is always greener and he went to the Miami Dolphins, his 1 year there, before the season started, they worked out two veteran quarterbacks who were castaways. They were castoffs, and he picked the wrong guy.
Right.
They worked out Dante Culpepper.
I forgot about that.
Who had success with the Vikings, and they worked out Drew Brees, who had some success with the Chargers, but lost his job because of a shoulder injury. And they drafted, they drafted Eli Manning, but then they traded to get Phillip Rivers that same year. And he's still playing, obviously. So Nick Saban and the Dolphins, they worked out those two veteran quarterbacks and they picked Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. And then Drew Brees came here. And a lot of people said, helped save the city of save football in New Orleans, whatever the case may be.
It was fate.
And to this day, Nick Saban blames the Miami Dolphins medical staff, training staff, for why they picked Dante Culpepper over Drew Brees. And if you think about it, if they picked Drew Brees, would Nick Saban still be there?
Right. It's like baffling to wrap your brain around that one pivotal moment, that one pivotal decision would have changed everything.
If he was having success there, would he have ever left and then come back to college, going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where he now has a dynasty?
Like Alabama would have not won all these championships. The Saints probably wouldn't be where they are right now. All these things changed on that one minuscule decision there.
Yeah.
That suddenly, like it was like a what do you call those? Like a moment in time.
And what a lot of people don't realize here in New Orleans is that after Hurricane Katrina, Tom Benson really, really wanted to move the team to San Antonio. And not just part-time. He wanted, The NFL had to step in. The last ballsy, gutsy call by an NFL commissioner, because we know Roger Goodell hasn't had any gutsy, ballsy calls. Paul Tagliabue told Tom Benson, you're not moving this team out of New Orleans.
Right.
It took the NFL commissioner at the time, Paul Tagliabue, to tell Tom Benson, you know, you get the Superdome fixed up, play a couple games in San Antonio, maybe play a little bit in Baton Rouge, whatever, but you're going back to New Orleans.
Right.
But you just wonder if Saban and the Dolphins picked Breeze over Culpepper that one summer where they had the tryouts, those two guys, you wonder what would have happened. You know, you look at it now. But I got to be honest, I don't think we'll ever, in our lifetimes, I don't think we'll ever see dominance like this on both the college level and the pro level, like we're seeing with Alabama and the New England Patriots.
Auburn and LSU can't wait for Nick Saban to retire, and the Jets and the Bills can't wait for Bill Belichick to retire.
And the Dolphins, too, because you put them in that division. Yeah, exactly.
Please retire, please.
It's really something. It really is. And I will always say that Belichick wouldn't have done this without Brady. But yesterday, and I know many people around here didn't watch it, and God bless you, because yesterday was a fantastic day in the city of New Orleans. We made our point. We made national headlines because everybody who watched the NFC Championship game knows that the Patriots got the screw, that the Saints got the screws. And so I just had a blast yesterday at Boycott Bowl, being a part of that. And just, it's again, something I will never, ever forget. And it's just another reason why be so proud to call this great city of New Orleans home.
Yeah, that Fulton Alley was packed. I mean, it was like out of control.
Insane.
It was like Mardi Gras downtown.
It was insane. And come to find out, the people didn't miss much. They're calling it the worst Super Bowl ever, lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. It was kind of a snooze fest. And the only thing worse than the Super Bowl game itself was the halftime show. It was even a bigger snooze fest. And they're going to have to address what to do at halftime.
Right. It's just like, come on.
I mean, where do you go after you have people like Paul McCartney and Prince? And where do you
even
go?
Beyonce was better than like me at Maroon 5. I'm like, come on.
Beyonce, even though it's not our style,
right?
It's still huge.
It's a show.
And then you're bringing on Maroon 5 and, right, and a couple of rappers. It was like, what? Yeah, I mean, I remember going back a little over a decade, right before the Saints won the Super Bowl. They had, when Paul McCartney played, even he got ripped by the younger hip-hop, you know, it's like, well, who's this old guy, you know? What? Wait a minute, what? You're talking about one of the main songwriters of the most important rock bands ever.
Right.
And he's getting ripped because, you know, it wasn't diverse. What about the younger generation? You know, what about the hip-hop crowd? And so they tried yesterday. They're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with the halftime show as well, because how do they get bigger than what they've done in the past? And you're just paling in comparison by trying to.
And there was a lot of people that said that this whole Super Bowl thing was fixed, and that they got L.A. Rams in there because they're one of the bigger markets, and that this was going to help them in the ratings because that the TV revenue. And I've heard all these conspiracy theories, you know, after you watch, what was that, right? I mean, you got to be honest. The NFL is obviously, like, not trying to rig the Super Bowl because it was terrible.
And we talked about it for the last couple of weeks. In my opinion, it was a bad blown call. It was a bad non-call. I mean, if a fix was in, you know, several people would have to know about it.
Right.
People can't keep their mouth shut that long. I mean, it was a look, and there were bad calls and blown calls in that game yesterday. Go back to the second conference championship game after the Saints game 2 weeks ago.
Right, that Kansas City game was
there
terrible.
There were a ton of bad calls. There were a ton of bad no calls in that game. It happens. It happens. The commissioner didn't handle it right. because he's never handled anything right. And I brought that up over the last 2 weeks, whether it was concussions when that first reared its head. He lied about it. We don't have a concussion problem. Now look at the money they're paying out. Whether it was players beating their wives or girlfriends at first. We don't have a problem with that. Did nothing about it. Whether it was Tom Brady and Deflategate. Look at the money, the years they spent at that, and ended up suspending him 4 games for that. Suspended him much more than he suspended players who almost killed their wives. And then the most recent one was the players taking a knee for the national anthem. He had no idea what to do. Still doesn't. He was clueless there. And it was just so great watching him get booed yesterday after the game when he's on the field trying to present the Super Bowl trophy to the owner of the Patriots. They booed him. You could hardly hear what he was saying.
Right, because half the stadium was nothing but Patriots fans.
Most of the stadium was Patriots fans. There were hardly any Rams fans. They basically said it was a home game for the Patriots. And the Patriots fans, because of Deflategate, hate Roger Goodell as much as the Saints fans do. Not just because of yesterday, because of the whole bounty gate. Like we were the only ones doing that, and you're gonna kick Sean Payton, the coach, out of the league for a whole year because of that.
Right.
So without a doubt, the two areas of America that do not like Roger Goodell the most, the New Orleans metropolitan region, the Gulf Coast, all of the Saints fans, and then the people up there in New England, got one thing in common.
Right.
You know, disdain for that asshat. So, I was just reading some rapper named 21 Savage may be getting deported because he's from England and he's an illegal immigrant here.
Oh,
and there were some very funny memes going around the internet over the last couple of days. Evidently, he had a song, and one of his lines was, "I got shooters dressed in all red," and then one of the memes had that line, and they were showing the red coach from the Revolutionary War. Pretty funny stuff. Although people then, even though that was funny, people, what's so funny about a guy getting deported, man? What about his family? I'm thinking about him. As a matter of fact, it got so bad for pop star and a woman who almost died of a drug overdose recently, Demi Lovato. She tweeted yesterday that she thought those memes were funny, and then she got attacked by the politically correct people. She is now off Twitter, which probably is probably a good thing for her. If she almost died of a drug overdose, she probably shouldn't be on Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, she has other things in her life that she has to deal with, but that's where we are in the year 2019.
No jokes.
No jokes, because someone will be offended. And by the way, those memes were very funny. And, you know, the guy's got issues, but come on, whatever. When is this going to end? And we're going to go back to being the way we used to be.
Right. We just went to work. We did our jobs. We came home. We were happy.
Yeah. And you told a joke and it was okay. If a few people didn't like it, sorry about that. But my God, look what it's doing these days.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.